setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I am coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. I am so excited to be with you. I know your ears are very important, and I'm grateful. But I'm grateful for you, for you. I'm grateful that you're listening, but it's for you. Because I want to meet you where you are. And for those of you who know what you want to do, you just want to keep moving up the ladder, I'm your guy. All right? I'm here for you and help you get up the ladder. Some of you don't even know what ladder you want to get on. Some of you know what the ladder is, but you're not quite sure how to get to the ladder. That about covers everybody. But there's a group that I will tell you that I want to speak more and more to. I've been thinking about this over the last several weeks, and I want to be more intentional to bang the drum for you. And that is the man or woman who has failed. Could be a business failure, a moral failure, even a financial failure, which could be a combination of both. But you feel shame. You feel as though you blew it. And you are now on the shelf of life. I'm going to tell you that that's not true. It only becomes a reality when you allow it to be. Redemption and restoration are a big part of this show. Give me a call. Let's talk through it. You can change your name. You can change your location. By the way, that goes for anybody. You feel like you got a toxic situation at work, or you've got a situation, an opportunity, and maybe family's holding you back. You want to talk, but you want to change your name and location. That's fine by us. We do it all the time. This is a safe place. Give us a call, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Coming up, you don't want to miss this. I love basketball, college basketball specifically. This is my favorite time of year. And I'm going to tell you how it is that these upsets are happening and what it means for you. What you can learn from these Cinderella stories, these small schools who beat these big-time programs. How can that translate to you? What's the secret to the seemingly insurmountable goal? How are these teams that everybody thinks are going to lose, how do they win? Every year they shock us, so we shouldn't be surprised. What can we learn from it? I'm going to give you that gold. That's coming up. But first to the phones we go. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Joshua joins us in Orlando, Florida. Joshua, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Joshua. How can I help?
I'll give you a little history. I'm a short-time listener. I haven't been listening for long.
Okay.
I started listening in the last year, beginning of this year, and I thought, you know what? The career that I'm in is not something I really feel like I want to stick with. I don't see it as a long-term part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got married in late February, so I put all the career hunting and search on the internet aside for a while. But now I'm back on the track trying to figure out what career I'd like to try next or how to find something that I would enjoy.
Okay.
I feel like I know that my fulfillment or my satisfaction is going to come from Jesus Christ and living every day in a way that's going to please Him or in a way that honors Him and His sacrifice that He made for us. But I really would like to find a job that I enjoy or that I can look forward to, like you talk about on your program.
Well, what if I told you that part of glorifying your Creator is doing what He created you to do in your work?
Yes.
I think it's pretty clear in Genesis chapter 2. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's true. It's right there in Genesis chapter 2. For those of you who don't go to church and never cracked a Bible, I got to tell you, I think we were created to work. Not as our entire identity, but in our contribution to the world. I call it we were created to contribute. That's just what I believe. So the question is, a guy like you has been listening to the show at least that long. You know what I teach. I talk about finding your sweet spot or contribution zone where you can use what you do best, talent, to perform work you love, passion, to accomplish results that matter deeply to you, mission. So what do you think about when you think about doing work that allows you to use what you do best to do something you love to produce results that matter?
I've always been a hands-on kind of guy. I like yard work. I'm an auto mechanic for a job.
That's what you do now?
I love numbers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Transmission technician, actually.
Okay, cool. So numbers, that's problem solving. You've always been gifted in math and things like that, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I'm jealous. I don't have that side of my brain. That side of my brain is completely dark. It's never worked at all. I mean, I could barely do anything outside of a calculator. So you've got this head-hand combo, meaning that you're a great problem solver. You got that mathematical ability, and then you're good at fixing stuff with your hands. And you're okay with being a transmission mechanic, but it's not firing your soul up. Let's stop beating around the bush. Why don't you just say what you've wondered about many, many times, even if it's a couple things. What would you do tomorrow, Joshua, if I just put you in it and you were fixing stuff with your head and hands? What would you do?
Yeah, that's a hard question for me to answer. I don't feel like there's anything that I've ever been really passionate about or looking to do. I love helping people. And
you've never
that,
I don't believe you. You are about the 400th person that has called the show that has said everything you just said. And so I have to stay with you a little bit, and I got to shock you, which I'm trying to shock you right now. What you just said to me is not true, because you have wondered about things before. I know you have. So go ahead and tell me what you've wondered about, which you're afraid of saying because you're not quite sure how to get there or if you'd actually like it. Why don't you just say what's at the top of your heart? Go now.
Engineering.
Now, why was that so difficult, Joshua, to get to? Why did I have to waste a minute and a half of the listener's time to get you to say what you were feeling? Tell us.
It's something I hadn't thought about for long, but it's something like I don't know how to get to, like you're saying. I don't know if it's something that I'm going to enjoy. I don't know if it's worth putting time into.
So there it is. Because you have doubt, otherwise known as the unknown, you are afraid to tell me. But what we have to do here is say, okay, there is a clue. Do I know that I know that I know that I know, Joshua, that you are supposed to be an engineer at this point? No, I do not. Well, let's break it down. The sweet spot. Do you have the raw talent? Now, I'm not talking sharpened skills yet. Do you have the raw talent necessary to be a successful engineer? Yes or no?
I need to look more at what that would be.
No. Okay. What raw skills do engineers have to have? Do they have to be good in math and science?
For the degree, yeah. For the job, math more than science, I would think.
Oh, good. And didn't you say you like numbers and were good at math?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. You're a pretty good problem solver, aren't you? Logical problem solver, aren't you?
Yeah, I love logical problems.
Okay, let me ask the question again. We're running out of time. Do you have the raw talent to be an engineer, yes or no?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so here's what you do. I want you to go talk to some people who are engineers this week. Talk to them. It's the proximity principle. Hang on the line. I'm going to give you a copy of my number one best-selling book. Hang around some engineers and figure out if that's the kind of work you want to do. It'll reveal itself. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Helping you live and work on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. I'm your coach, your counselor, and your cheerleader. You get all three of those unique personalities in one phone call. It's toll free, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Coming up, next segment, I'm going to give you the secret to how the underdog wins in sports. How do these unbelievable underdogs beat the Giants? How do Davids beat Goliaths? I mean, some of you right now are feeling like you're up against an insurmountable climb to actually pursue your dream, to do what you love, to have the life that you want. You're going, I just think it's impossible. And what's the secret? And I'm going to blow your minds. It's really quite simple. I'll teach on that coming up. Also, some Momentum Monday stories where just real men and women listening to the show, watching the show on YouTube as well, giving us updates on how they're making progress. You can submit your update because it'll encourage others. Or if you've got a spouse or a loved one, you want to give them a shout out for some progress, ask at kencoleman.com, put Momentum Monday in the subject line, and we'll give them some love. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Clemson, South Carolina. Steven is on the line there. Steven, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
You bet. How can I help?
Well, I'm actually on the way back home from an interview right now, about 3 hours away.
How'd it go?
And I was like, well, I made the call. I think it went pretty well. They said that they'll get back with him next week. Okay. So I think it went pretty well.
Okay, good.
I figured, well, I may as well call Mr. Coleman and see what he's up to.
I'm up to you right now. It's all Steven, baby.
Thank you. So I graduated from college in May with a degree in management. And, you know, up in school in South Carolina now, but I'm from Florida, Lakeland, Florida. And I'm just kind of in, I guess, like a bit of a rut here. I'm just kind of stuck in the job search process.
Are you there? Oh, he's on the road. Those pesky cell phones, Joe. Jimmy just got me right. He was about ready to drop. Oh, there he is. He's still talking. He doesn't even know we can't hear him. Steven, we lost you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah. So we may need to have you pull over here. Let's try this again. So you're right to the point where you're graduating with a management degree and then I lost you. So what's your question?
Okay, so anyways, I'm just kind of stuck like in the job search process. I feel like I'm being too open-minded, and I think I need to be a little bit more narrow-minded.
Okay. Is the problem that you don't have any ideas, though, to narrow down to?
Kind of, yes, sir. I just feel like I just applied to, like, way too many places, and I feel like I'm not motivated enough in the interviews. Maybe I'm not portraying myself as being, like, aggressive or, like, hungry enough to want the job, I guess.
Is that something that you have figured out on your own, or somebody told you that?
I've kind of figured it out. I've had several interviews over the past couple months now, and some I've kind of even gotten to like the second or third round. I have one offer so far, but I just feel like the places I'm applying for, I don't know that I really want the job that
Great.
Bad. I don't know.
All right, so here's the deal.
Like in the wrong industry or something.
Well, no, here's the deal. It's not about industry right now. Let's just solve this problem. Stop applying for stuff that you don't want to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. That was pretty heavy, right? You want to pull over the car and write that down? That was so heavy. But, Steven, seriously, listen, you're a young man, and you got your whole life in front of you. This is the season for exploration, but let's be on purpose with our exploration. Let's explore industries and fields that you're at least intrigued by. Let's do some of that homework right now because you've got a little bit of time anyway. So what is it that you think that you would love to do? I'm not saying because that's what's going on. I think you're doing too much thinking and not enough feeling. What does your heart tell you? If we just eliminate all of your head stuff, mom and dad, professors, what the latest Kiplinger magazine said about good jobs, who cares? Shut it all down. Right. What does Steven's heart wonder about?
I just love sports, and I think I would love to work in sports one day.
Why?
Whether it be for like a pro sports team or like a sports writer.
Why?
Sports just like takes up so much of my free time, and that's like the biggest part of my entertainment.
Good. You love sports.
Like a lot of
Listen, Steven. Listen. You love sports. When you're not sleeping, you got your mind on sports in some form or fashion.
Yes, sir.
You like to play sports growing up, true or false?
True.
Great. Okay, what's your favorite sport? Or two?
Soccer.
Soccer. What would be a dream job? I want you to shut your brain down. Just let your heart answer this. What would be a dream job for 22, 23-year-old Steven in the soccer world? What would be a dream job? Just say it. Don't even worry about title. What would you be doing?
I mean, just working with just like any pro sports team, just in kind of any fashion, I guess. Orlando City, like, is my favorite MLS team.
Who is this?
Or Orlando City.
Orlando City. Great.
Oh, yes, sir.
So here's the deal. You would love to work in the front office of an MLS team. Let's just say that. That would be right now off the chart sizzle factor. Yes or no?
Sure.
Okay. You got a management degree. It's not sports management, but that don't make any difference. It really doesn't. Not if you really make connections. Your parents live in Orlando?
They live in Lakeland, which is like 45 minutes away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was just down there, by the way, just at Disney last week.
Oh, awesome.
So here's the deal. Would mom and dad take you in for a while if they knew you were really hustling and trying to get in with that MLS team? Would they take you in?
Yes, sir, definitely.
If it's me, if you were my kid, I'd say, all right, you want to work for that team? It's your favorite MLS team? Then you stink and dish out hot dogs. You work in concessions. You work two or three other jobs to be able to make the money that you need on top of the concessions job. You go intern for free, work for free for a couple of months. Whatever you got to do to get in with that franchise, because you're young, you can live with mom and dad, and your expenses will be next to nothing. But you're busting your chops. You're not sleeping until 11 and then going to the park.
Right.
You may be working two or three jobs or whatever you need to bring in some money. But you are doing anything you can in that organization. And you're letting them know that. Hey,
yes, sir.
I'm straight out of college. I got my fancy degree, but I want to work at pro sports. And I'd like to try to earn my way in to do something for you all. Even if you're a personal assistant for the general manager or somebody, you know, who cares? Do what it takes to get in. I'm going to remind you of something that you may or may not know. Okay. I was 32, 33 years of age with a wife and three kids and a mortgage and a dog. And I was switched into broadcasting. And I had my own company, so that was my version of two or three jobs, doing whatever I had to do to take care of a family. I was working for free at a local sports talk station. I was doing Friday night football stuff for free, driving an hour and a half away in Atlanta area to go do high school football. I was doing everything I could do to get in and make connections. And that's what you've got to do. And if you don't get on with the MLS team, you go for another team. But you're young. You only have this season of life once. For you, it's going to be easier to work for free or to do some things for very low wage because you're young and you got the support system of mom and dad. I would go all in trying to get any job for that MLS franchise. Okay. And then you know what you do? Let's say they give you a job being in charge of concessions. I'm just making this up. Dude, nobody's ever grilled a hot dog like you've grilled a hot dog. Nobody's ever stacked the chips the way you'll stack the chips. I'm being absurd here, but I'm making a point. Do you understand my point?
That's
where they go. This Steven kid, we talk about hungry, man. He'll do anything. He acts like he owns the franchise. He walks around picking up gum. I saw Steven the other day walking into the office. He was scraping something off the parking lot. I thought the kid had lost his mind. I said, Steven, what are you doing? He said, I'm scraping up bubble gum. I don't want one of our fans to have a bad experience because they stepped in bubble gum. It's that kind of unbelievable enthusiasm, an unbelievable commitment, an unbelievable drive. And they go, we want this kid around. We will find a place for Steven. And if you got to work two or three jobs and live in mom's basement, fine. That's how you get in, Steven. There's no stopping you. You hear me?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the help.
Go, Steven, go. Folks, that's how you do it. You got to want it more than anybody else. Dispensing wisdom, knowledge, confidence, and clarity. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. It's my favorite time of the year. Some of you say Christmas. I say March Madness. Don't judge me. It doesn't mean I don't like Christmas. I like Christmas, but I like wall-to-wall hoops more, Joe. I just do. It's as Cousin Eddie so famously said in Christmas Vacation, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's just one upset after another. This particular year has been crazy. And coming up in 2 minutes, I'm going to give you the secret so that you can do the upset, that you can do the unthinkable, that you can achieve what is maybe insurmountable in your life. What can you learn from the underdog basketball teams or any sports team that pull off the miracle and defy the odds? How can you use that in your life? That's coming up. Oh, it's so good. I can't wait to give it to you. But first, we love to celebrate you in just the small steps. We call it Momentum Monday. Trish writes in from our YouTube chat room. She says, "Hey, Ken, you have helped me so much. I just want you to know I got the job and I'm now working as a recruitment manager." Way to go, Trish. VL712805. My favorite username of the day, says, "I started a new position. I bet on my skills and experience, and now I've gotten a major salary increase." Way to go, the L712805. And Stephanie says, "Hey, I just turned down a job offer, and I've never done that before, but I did it to be my own boss. I'm scared to death." 2 exclamation points, Joe. And then she says, "But so excited." And that's fun. Fun stuff. And then Chris, Joe, you snuck this in here. This isn't really an update on him. He's basically saying, "Ken, you're right. And I enjoy being right. I'm right all the time on this show because that's what we talk about. It's not political opinion. I'm just telling you what works." So here we go. This is for you folks who want to get into technology. This is a real life email from Chris. He says, "Ken, I'm a 50-year-old software engineer who took the traditional education route to a master's degree in IT management. When I finally arrived at my dream job as a Microsoft consultant, I found that many of my younger peers and senior level mentors had no degree at all." I love when I'm right, Joe. "I was shocked and a bit jealous. It is important to note that while working at my level in the IT world, I am well into a six-figure salary range. Also important to note that these no-degree millennials in Gen Z generation in my circle all work very hard and have passion. As a new listener to the show, I hope this helps you build your case that you don't need to drop all your money into a traditional degree to be highly successful in it." No, of course you don't. That's why I endorse and am partnering with BethelTech.net. BethelTech.net/Ken to learn more. Less than $15,000 if you're a Ken Coleman Show listener and pay cash. Cash flow your way through it. They'll give you a payment plan. It'll be well less than 15 grand. 9 months later, they have a 75% placement rate. Starting $75,000 salary and can move into the six figures pretty quickly. You just heard it from a listener. That's why I love them. They're doing great work. Go kick the tires, talk to them, tell them Ken Coleman sent you, and you can move into the tech field right away. Real quick, I got to mention this. We've got our second Get Hired event. Some of you are looking to make a transition from either a couple part-time jobs or you've been in your unemployment, maybe coming to an end, whatever it is, you want to get into a job. Some of you want to move from a job to the dream career. You're trying to figure out what's the next step, what's the bridge. Some of you are graduating college. Or moms, dads, grandparents, you got a college kid coming out trying to compete in a very competitive job market right now. The Get Hired event is for you. We'll be doing it live April the 27th, 8 Eastern time, here from our Ramsey World headquarters. We'll have a couple hundred people here live, and then we'll stream it to the world. April the 27th, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Tickets start at just $20. And you can get them at DaveRamsey.com/events. DaveRamsey.com/events. I'm a part of the Ramsey Solutions world. And so if you want to go to DaveRamsey.com/events, you can get your ticket now. Great, great, great ticket packages there. Would love to see you. Okay, here it is. I'm going to drop it on you. So every year this time, you know, really much of the United States engages in some participation with the final with the NCAA tournament, right? In the brackets. So even if you don't like basketball, many of you are involved in an office pool and you fill out the bracket and it's become this fun thing. And what's great is like you could be a man or woman who knows nothing about basketball and fill out a bracket. In fact, those are the people that tend to do well in these things. They just randomly guess and it makes for a lot of fun. But I want to talk to you about something that we see every year and we're seeing a lot over this last weekend. We saw with Oral Roberts shock, a 15 seed shock, a number 2 seed Ohio State. We saw it we see this every year, right? We've seen it. It's just crazy. Okay. So as I watch these games, I'm reminded of something that we can use every day. We can harness this superpower that these small teams seem to every March summon and knock off the giant, David defeating Goliath. How do they do it? I'm going to break it down for you really simply. Here it is. I'm going to tell you how you get this. The superpower of the underdog is this. They stop thinking and they start playing. They may have some nerves somewhere along the way, but either from the first tip or the second TV timeout or the second half, at some point, the underdog gets to a point where they stop thinking and they just start playing. They don't think about this bad pass. They don't think about how good the opposing player is. They just get out and they give it everything they got. They lay it all on the floor. They're just playing. There's no thinking going on. They're just getting after it. Why? Because the underdog, in that moment, whatever it is, there comes a time where the underdog stops worrying about failure. That's what it boils down to. They stop. They go, wait a second. Nobody in the world expects us to win. So we're just going to go out and play and give it everything we've got. And they stop thinking. They're just playing. And before they know it, they're in the game. They're 5 points down. They're 2 points down. They're tied. They go up one. And if you've ever seen this happen in any sport where you've got a big underdog, you see the momentum shift. And it's like the team that's favored, the better team, the odds, they start to go, what's going on here? Something's changing. So for those of you out there that aren't where you want to be in your life and in your work, and you're going, Ken, I'm competing against all these other hot shots from Harvard and Yale, or you name the name brand school. Guess what? Stop thinking about it, and you go out and use the proximity principle. You go connect. You go work for free. You go bust your butt. You go help people. You keep connecting. And all those fancy degrees and all of the heads up opportunities that somebody else has that you don't think you have, let me tell you something, it won't matter. It's like the underdog in the game. They stop thinking and they're playing. They're playing defense. They're driving to the hole. They're shooting. They're blocking shots, taking charges. What are they doing? They're not worried about failure. They're not worried about losing. And here's the human condition. We are so petrified, yours truly included, of failure, that when we focus on failure, when we focus on the unknowns and the doubts, we can't perform. But if these teams, these underdogs, go into a game going, how in the world are we going to win this game? Guess what? They won't. But if they go in going, we got here. We're in the game. We got a shot. We're going to give it everything we got. When they do that, good things happen. So that's the secret of the underdog. They don't think. They just get out and play. Risk-free. They just throw it to the wind. Caution to the wind. I'm all in. We got 60 minutes to win this game. You got one life to go after what you were created to do. Be an underdog and watch yourself win. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we hand out clarity and confidence at an alarming rate. At some point, people are going to start asking questions. Hey, what's going on over there? Okay. Come on. And the fun part about this is the clarity and the confidence, they're already within you. You just have to uncover it. And that's my job. Chief Uncoverer Officer or something or other. Like uncovering hearts, Joe. One person at a time. One phone call. 844-747-2577 is the number. Tristan is up in Traverse City, Michigan. Tristan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm living the dream, Tristan. What's going on with you?
Oh, so I'm about 9 months from graduating college, and I am in a field that I don't want to work in.
Okay. And what field is that?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What field is that?
Oh, I'm at a maritime academy, so it's merchant shipping.
Okay, and what field do you want to go into?
I've read your Finding Your Dream Job article, and I'm kind of hesitant to say. It just sounds ridiculous, but...
No, don't. That's the very point. In fact, I'm glad you called me, and I'm promising you that it's not as ridiculous as you think it is, but I think you got to say it. You got to say it to me, because we're not going to go any further on this call until you tell me that thing. You already tipped me off that you've got something in your head and heart, but you're afraid to say it. Say it.
Well, I think it would be up my alley to be, like, write biographies, to be a writer.
Okay.
I love reading, love digging through archives, old letters, newspapers, and telling stories.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. The reason why it sounds ridiculous to me is because I guess I haven't tried it yet. Like, I don't know anyone who does it. Or
yeah, that's the problem.
Like that.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's a faraway mountain. It's literally like me putting you at the base of Mount Everest right now going, you can do this. And you're like, okay, Ken, slow your roll. That's what it's like. So the fact of the matter is we start with clarity. Stage one, get clear, right? That's what I teach. Stage one, get clear. Do you have the raw talent? I didn't say skills that's sharpened. I'm saying, do you have the raw verbal skills, the raw talent to be a good writer if you were to work at it? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Do you, now let's look at passion, work you love. When you think about researching a person from history, or researching and getting to know a person who's living, who has got a large platform and a story to tell, and you think about getting to know that person and then writing their story through research with them and other research, when you think about the sitting down and writing and crafting a narrative about a person's life and their contribution, does that get you excited, or do you think, I could care less?
That gets you fired up.
Okay, so we met the passion side of things, which is work you love. You love writing and researching. You love that. Storytelling. So the last piece is results that matter. Why biographies? Why write about people that have done something significant? What's the result you want to create?
I guess for what always helped me was just seeing how other people did, learning from other people's lives to apply to your own.
If you knew you wrote biographies and people that read them were inspired to do their own thing, how would that make you feel at the end of your life?
Very meaningful.
All right, boom, there's mission, results that you want to accomplish. So it's definitely in your sweet spot. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so now the hard part. That was the easy part. Is being a biographer, a writer in my sweet spot? The answer is yes. Now we got to actually do it. Okay, I'm going to give you a copy of my best-selling book, The Proximity Principle, okay? It's my gift to you. Because I wrote it for people like you who know what they want to do, but you have no idea how to get there. It sounds so scary, correct?
Correct.
All right, I'm going to give you the book, but here's the short answer. You will need to have a day job like young Ken Coleman did, or should I say younger Ken Coleman. I had a day job running my own business, and I did broadcasting on the side until I got to the point that I could take the step. Okay. So same thing with being a writer. To be able to pay the bills as a biographer, you're going to have to get a lot of experience writing. So it is possible for you to just start as a writer. If you can get any job writing, that's all that writers need to write. So there's a couple ways to do this. Either A, you get a job as a writer and stay on as a writer, and then eventually you write a biography or something, or an autobiography about somebody, whatever. You just got to stay in the game long enough. Okay, and eventually you get to the point where you can do it on the side and then step into it full time. Hang on the line. We're going to get you a copy of The Proximity Principle. Do it and write it. We Welcome back to our Nashville studios at Ramsey Solutions Worldwide Headquarters. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Different kind of talk radio show. We're not talking politics here. We're talking purpose. And I can tell you, even though I don't know you yet and your details, you were created to fill a unique role in your work. You are needed. And that means you must do it. Somebody out there needs you to show up and be the best version of you. We all long to contribute. I believe we were created to contribute. That's why we all wonder, what should I do with my life? It's way more than just a J-O-B. That's not what we want. We want to make a difference. And so we're here to help you figure out what that is and how you can do it. 844-747-2577 is the number. Kevin is up next in Portland, Oregon. Kevin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Kevin, I'm living the dream. How can I help?
Hey, so I am just trying to figure out my life, like everybody. I started a business this year doing architectural design, residential.
Okay.
And I've been doing electrical 3D design, working my way through college, and I graduate in 3 weeks.
Oh, good.
After 6 long years.
There you go.
Yeah, so pretty excited about that. But I'm just trying to figure out, I guess, at what point I should consider quitting my job. I've got a lot of work, and I just don't know how to forecast, I guess. That's what I should do.
Catch me up. What is your job? Are you doing the electrician work now?
I'm an electrical designer, so I do electrical CAD design.
Okay, yeah. And how is that separate from, you said, the business you started, which was architectural design?
Architectural. So I do more home designs on my side business.
Oh, good.
Residential home stuff. I'm doing commercial electrical design in my day job.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And how much money are you making in your full-time job? What's your salary?
So my full-time job right now, I'm making 60. I'm about to get a bump to 75, but I haven't as soon as I graduate. So I'm like on a spectrum, like, should I quit now before I'm used to that extra money kind of thing?
Well, this all comes down to the time to quit is when your side hustle takes care of you. That's the answer. It's not like a calendar time. This is a math answer, not a calendar answer. So how much are you projecting to make this year?
Without any advertising, I'll probably bring in $35,000.
Okay. Can you live off of $35,000?
I can, yes.
Well.
But that's not what I make.
Well, but my point is that the time to, so there's a give and take here. If you quit your full-time electrician job, then obviously you'll be able to put more time into the architectural design, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which means you can make more money, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it gets to the point where you either make the move now because you can, and things will be really tight, I'm guessing, financially. Is that right?
Well, my wife works, so it won't be super tight, thankfully.
Oh, well, then I do it now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to get to the facts. Because, again, it's really not my answer. It's your answer. When can you leave the full-time electrician job? So you're making 60 base now. You go up to 75. I'm fine if you stay there for a while and sock some more money away. Maybe you sock, you know, with that increase in salary, maybe you don't live off of that at all, and you just sock all of that away, and maybe you put away 6 months of your current $60,000 job, right? So you put that away in savings, and that's kind of this extra floating fund until you get the architectural business going. And then your wife, she's making enough to where you guys are taking care of all the bills. So I don't think there's a wrong answer here. If you stay in the job, I would only stay long enough to put away money that then gives you that extra padding so that there's really not a squeeze at all. But I'm fine if you leave today. Because, again, you got the combined income with the wife, so you guys are fine. And this is all in time. Pretty soon, it's all in time. Yeah. Good for you, man. Yeah.
Cool.
Just be smart. Yeah. Be smart. It's a money issue. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've struggled with it because I feel like I'm a workaholic right now.
No, you're not. No. Now, see, I don't like that word because you are not a workaholic.
Okay.
I'm not sure there actually is a workaholic. Unless we want to define it as somebody who is trying to never be around their family because of other issues. And so they spend all of their time at work, because I love my work, But when I go home at night, I don't work. I just don't. And that way I'm fresh. My heart is on fire every morning. When I drop the kids off at school, the minute I drop them off, my brain goes to this place and what I'm doing, and I get the juice, baby, and I got the juice. But I will run out of juice if that's all I'm ever doing is thinking and working about it. But in order to do that, I must ignore my wife and three kids. And why would I do that? I can tell you why I would do that is if I'm sick emotionally, something's wrong with me or our family, and I'm trying to escape it. So are you a workaholic?
No.
All right, then. Don't use that word. I don't like that word. I'm banning that word. Boy, we ban everything in 2021. I'm going to get woke all of a sudden and ban that word. Wokeaholic. Workaholic. Hey, I just said wokeaholic, too. Now, we definitely have some wokeaholics, but we'll leave that one alone. That's not what this show is about. Here's my point. You're passionate about this dream. It's your side hustle. So you're spending a lot of time in it to get it going, but your wife's on board with it, and you're not ignoring her. So here's the point. Make the adjustment and make the move. Make the adjustment financially, and then go ahead and professionally make the move when it feels absolutely right financially. This isn't a strategic decision. This is a money decision. When you and the wife are on the same page about when the right time is financially, go for it. Don't look back. You hear me?
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
You the man. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. There needs to be more said on this. There's a big difference between passion, which is what I describe as work you love. That's the construct we use here. Talent's what you do best. Passion is work you love to do. You think about a task or a role, and when you think about it, you get excited. When you're in the middle of it, you love it to the point that time seems to just disappear on you. And then mission is when you look back on the end of your day, or you reflect on a moment. Maybe you had an aha moment with a student, teacher, or maybe you had an aha moment with a customer, salesperson, whatever it is. And when you reflect on that and you think about it, you go, oh, that makes my heart full. That's mission. But you can be fully in your sweet spot and go home and leave work and be engaged with your wife, dudes. I'm going to speak to dudes. I can shout at dudes. I can step on dudes' toes. Listen, men. If you're checked out at home and you're saying it's because of work, it's not because of work. It's because of something else you don't want to confront. Oh, there's Ken. He just went and did it now. I'm telling you guys, if you're making an excuse for why you're checked out at home because of work, you are using work as an excuse. That is a lie. It is a cop-out, and you need to man up. The one exception to this is if you're in some, you know, really intense season of life and people are shorthanded, companies are shorthanded because of COVID or whatever, and maybe it's a short season. I mean, it's a season of life where because of being shorthanded, you got to work some crazy hours. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about circumstantial. I'm talking about a pattern of you working so much that you're unhealthy in your relationships and you're unhealthy in your physical life, whatever. Let me just tell you something. You're using work as a crutch because work allows you to ignore the very things that you know you need to deal with. It's not the other way around. I'm telling you, two stories in the last week, Joe, of dudes that are leaving their wives and kids to do their thing. And I'm telling you, that is garbage. You don't have to choose between your family and your work that you were created at. You do not have to do that. Hey, I got to go. But before I do, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, such as the Entree Leadership Podcast with Daniel Tardy.
Hey, this is Daniel Tardy, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast. We believe that small business is the backbone of the American economy. And we also know it can be really hard to win in business. So we're here to help. On the Entree Leadership Podcast, we talk about the practical ways that you can grow yourself, your team, and your profits. Join us every week as we talk to entrepreneurs, CEOs, thought leaders, best-selling authors, and more to help you on the journey of winning at business.
You can start your journey at entreleadership.com/podcast, or you can search Entree Leadership wherever you listen to podcasts.